Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2024. And today, since I was out yesterday and we didn't cover the news as we normally do on a Wednesday, we'll cover all the happenings and headlines around the world of podcasting, plus more mailbag questions. So if you don't mind, please hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen if you are listening live here on Clubhouse. And if you're a podcaster listening via podcast, please share this with a fellow podcaster. And then give me about a minute or so, and then we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Still not used to the short music. I don't feel like I have enough time to prepare. One of the things I often do is on Clubhouse, there's that share button I just mentioned a moment ago. It allows me to invite Clubhouse members individually. I just tap on their faces and I don't have time to do that anymore because I've shortened the music because it's just too damn long for a podcast. But I'm going to have to find a happy medium, I think. What we're going to do today, like I said at the top of the show, when yesterday I couldn't join, Dominic and Nick took over and they did not cover the news, which was totally cool by me. So I figure let's cover the news today and also some mailbag questions. Thank you to those of you who are sending in your questions ever since we started answering a couple, all of a sudden more and more started coming in. And if you check the show notes, you can see the different ways that you can reach out if you're unable to join us live, ways you can reach out to me, to the show, and we will answer that question for you as soon as we can. So with that, we're going to open the show with one of those questions. And this comes from Max. Max says, I'm considering creating merchandise for my podcast. What key factors should I consider to ensure it's something my audience will actually want and buy? Let's do this the way we normally would do an opening question. Nick, good morning to you. What say you?
Well, good morning, everybody. I would probably almost, because I never actually launched merch for my podcast specifically. I've done merch other places, but I think what I've seen most effective for podcasts is when they come out with some kind of design, like say it's a t-shirt design or maybe a hat design or something like that. And if you have an engaged audience, if you start sharing that kind of stuff with your audience, whether that's Facebook or Instagram or wherever you'll actually get feedback from people, you can start sharing it, like different designs, things like that. I think a lot of times you'll get a good gauge from the audience, like if it's something that they're interested in. I think Chris and Amanda actually do that, I believe. I'm not sure if they put it out for like review kind of thing, like vote on it type stuff, but I have seen them post their t-shirts and things like that in Facebook groups, and it does get engagement. So that's probably where I would start.
Yeah.
Test out the different products in your community and just see what the feedback is. They'll tell you if they want it or not.
I agree with that. I think that's the best place to start. Test it with your audience. Share the designs with them that you're considering for merchandise. And I like to encourage podcasters to put it to a vote. Let the audience pick which one they like better. Because then they feel more vested in it. They feel like they were a part of the creation. And also, you may find that nobody answers, right? You put it out there and you maybe get one or two responses. Maybe that's a sign that it's not time yet to put out merchandise. What were you going to say, Nick?
To add on to what you just said, I mean, it also depends on the type of merchandise that you're considering. Like if you're thinking like t-shirts or mugs or like that type of stuff where you can utilize a platform like Printify, Printful, it costs you no money to design unlimited stuff. The only time it's going to cost you money is if people start actually buying the stuff. Like they're going to get their part, you're going to get yours. So, I mean, worst case scenario, if the merchandise that you're thinking about is on Printify or Printful, you can create the stuff, put it out there, and say, hey, this is for sale. If you guys are interested, get feedback that way. And if you don't get any responses, then okay, scrap that one and create something new. But it'd fall in line. Like if you're going to create the mock-up in Canva or something like that, you could just easily create the mock-up in Printify and have it available for people to buy right away if you.
Yeah, and I like using Printify for that purpose more so than Canva because Printify will also give you several images to choose from or to at least see the design in action. In other words, you could see a real life human being wearing that t-shirt and then you could share that picture. It just catches more attention, I think, than just creating a graphic. I'll share one and then I'm going to go to Walt. It's been a while since we've had Walt up here. I'm glad he's back. Actually, you know what? I want to go to you, Walt, and then I'm going to share because I don't want to steal anybody's ideas first. So, Walt, good morning. Welcome back to the stage. Yeah, what advice do you have for Max around just what factors should Max be considering before he starts selling merchandise around his podcast?
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, glad to be back. Been a very, very, very intense few weeks. All in good things, all good things. I think what Nick said and also what Soda said in the chat are very good things to keep in mind and kind of great place to get started. I'll say just like the first like three things I would design. Like I think it's always good just to have it is a shirt with your podcast branding on it, whether it's the cover art or just the show name or whatever. And that's just a staple to have just in case people just want that. Another thing I would say is if, and this really depends on the show, but if there's some type of like inside joke or just some saying that only people that your listeners would like know, I think that's good because that's like kind of something for like this, you know, if someone's a kind of super fan or just really into your show, they'll get it, they'll appreciate it, go walk around as like an inside joke then, if they see it around with someone else, then boom, it's like, oh, connection. So that, and then the last thing I would say is I would only do one of those because I think it's actually more important to have something, let's say you're just doing shirts, have something that anyone could get that could kind of speak to anybody in their life that's not just a super fan of your show. I think when I first did my merch, I made a mistake of just making it very specific to my podcast and me, but it's good just to have something that's kind of relatable to others. So I'd say that. And then last thing, I'll just hone in on really knowing your audience and knowing what they would want because some people don't wear t-shirts, some people don't drink out of mugs. So there's endless options. Do that survey, test things out. And yeah, that's all I got.
Thanks, Walt. That's a whole bunch. Thank you. You say that's all I got. And one of the areas I want to focus on is that idea of creating merchandise that more than just your audience would consider purchasing or wearing or whatever the merch actually is. I think that's a big one because if you have some kind of maybe it's a catchphrase or maybe it's some kind of statement, whatever it is. If it's something that the masses can relate to, that's a great way to promote your podcast. I would, you know, put that, let's say it's a catchphrase. You have that catchphrase on the front. You could put your logo on the back or maybe your logo underneath the phrase. But that's a great way to do it because if you can appeal to the masses, it's going to give you more visibility. I see we have several people that wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Dominic, and then Billy, and then Nick. Go ahead, Dominic.
That's exactly was going to be my piece. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is well. Yeah, I've always been a fan of, I don't do merch for Black is America, but when I had the startup life, I always wanted to do merch that spoke to the end user, right? So the startup life was all about entrepreneurship. And so I'll have like one shirt that had like entrepreneur down the side, and it was an acronym for like, you know, these different traits of being an entrepreneur or something like that, or some kind of cool design where like the gear plus, you know, the light bulb equaled money, right? So like work versus an idea equaled money or something like that. So I've always thought about the end user and not necessarily my brand or whatever. And those particular type of shirts or mugs or whatever always outsold, for me, in my experience, always outsold like a shirt that just had the Startup Life logo on it. So just something to think about. Think about the end user in that regard, to Walt point.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like you said that much better than I did, because I like the example, the fact that it's a business. If it's a business, then you can really capitalize on whatever it is around business so that the business person would consider wearing that shirt. Yeah. Walt, did you want to just, we're going to go to Billy, but I saw you come off, Mike. Did you want to say something to that?
I was going to say, he said it better than I did too.
Yeah. That's why we have Dominic here. Billy, good morning to you. What did you want to say about this whole merch thing?
Good morning. Good morning. I come from the perspective of the production side of merch. So I did this long. I've been in that world longer than I've been in the content creation space, and worked with a lot of, I got a great idea for a t-shirt people. And unfortunately made a lot of money off of those people, even though I told them like, this is a bad idea, you shouldn't do this. But so one thing is like, are you going to make money? Like, do you want to make money with this project? And that's the biggest question I always have for people is like, you can do the, I'm going to put my podcast logo on 50 different products and put it on a website and sell one mug a year. That's a strategy that might be create brand awareness for you, but that's not going to put money in your pocket. But if the goal is to put money in your pocket, I would first of all just evaluate the size of my audience and just be realistic of like, there's a very small percent that's going to convert, especially when it comes to merchandise, especially when it comes to crappy merchandise. So it's like, just because it's easy doesn't mean you should do it. And this is why I push back against Printify, Printful, you know, all these print on demand companies, is you cannot really control the quality of the product that's coming out. And you can create yourself a lot of headache for a little bit of margin. So a couple things, like one, evaluate your audience, see if that's even a sizable enough audience to convert at a 1 to 2%, honestly, like realistically, you're probably looking at a 1 to 2% conversion. And then do what these other people on the stage have said, you know, get them involved in the process. Like, yeah, t-shirts are tough. You know, it's like, unless people are familiar with the brand and they buy a lot of promotional style shirts, like what you buy from a screen printer or Printify is not what you buy at Target. The same material, not the same quality, doesn't fit near the same. So all those are like learning curves, and put them out there, put out the two different products, the hat, the mug, the thing. I'm thinking about doing this with this, you know, whatever, like what is your audience repeating back to you? What connects with them the most? And then there's a ton of stuff. I'll have to dig it up somewhere. Mark, I have a podcast episode where I actually talk about this, because we used to help nonprofits, public speakers, public figures drop pre-sales in like by the 150, 200 pieces at a time. That's how much they would sell before they ever spent a dollar. And so instead of doing the pre-sale on another website like Printify, where the margin is very small, don't be afraid of shipping. And that's my last tip. Shipping is not that bad, and you'll make a lot more money if you can work local with a wholesale printer and like really create a stream of revenue. Once again, if you're just looking to make a couple bucks and put out a little brand awareness and hope somebody buys a shirt, great. If you really want to get in the merch game and make money, there's totally like way better strategies than hitting the easy button. So I'll just say that and leave it.
Thanks, Billy. Yeah. And if you find that link to that episode, please send it my way. I'll put it in the show notes for sure. And I appreciate that feedback. I mean, you can make an argument for either side of this coin, because I do see Billy's points. I use Printify, and people have purchased the shirts through me and ultimately through Printify. And yeah, I haven't had any of the people purchasing complain about quality. And when I have had some sent to me. Yes, there have been on occasion a few duds. And one of the things that I learned is that you can pick from a pool of printers on Printify, and they do get ratings to help you along the way, right? To help you like determine, okay, this is a 5-star printer with 500 reviews or whatever that is. That'll give you a little more confidence. And sometimes you do have to go through a few printers to find one that you can trust and rely on. But I've had overall pretty good experience with Printify. I haven't heard anybody complain. So I think that's a good thing. Nick, did you want to add something? Go ahead.
I wanted to add a comment, and then it's kind of a question as well. So one thing that we haven't really talked about, and it caught me by surprise when I went the Printify Printful route, is you need to have a place where these products can be purchased. Obviously, if there's nowhere for the people to go to click the buy button, you can't buy them. And I don't know, this is kind of where my question comes into play. I don't know if there are any free platforms out there that allow you to set up a storefront. So as an example, Shopify would be one. I know, Mark, that's what you're using. That's what I've used in the past. That's what allows you to actually list the products, and they capture the credit card information. So you obviously don't want to be the one handling that. But I don't know of any free platforms out there like that that allow you to do that. So that would be something to consider as well. You might be incurring a monthly cost. And if you're putting out this merchandise that, like Billy's saying, it's a 1% for 2% margin, you make $3 on a t-shirt that one person bought, you might not be able to cover the cost to list the products.
Yeah, that made me, I don't know why, but that also, I guess I know why. When you talk about the fact that you do have to pay, and sometimes it does bother me, because I fully admit, there are times where a month or two has gone by, I've paid my, whatever it is, $30 or so a month, and I feel like, ugh, that's such a waste, right? And what your share made me think of is, if you have the space and you have the time, you could stock your own shirts. You know, back to something Billy was saying, if you go through direct through a screen printer, you could do that. If you got a good response from your audience when you were testing the waters, then you could stock the shirts and send them individually yourself. It's more time and more work, but you could do that. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, and the strategy there is to do a pre-sale. The strategy is to never really buy and just hold stock, because especially if it's a shirt. Now, if it's something that's sized, it's just a pain in the ass. Like, you're never going to guess what people wear. I don't care. There's formulas out there. Trust me, I've done this for like a decade. And every time somebody goes, oh man, I bought what you told me to, and we didn't sell any of those mediums, you know? And I'm like, well, sorry, I'm just going by the equation that the industry says, you know, or whatever. But I think there is a strategy to like pre-sell and never hold stock and never be invested out of your personal dollars, you know, especially up front when you're starting. Now, I understand if people, you know, really grow into it, and we work with a company now, they have hundreds of designs and stuff like that for their online store, and they have a little warehouse space and they do it. But it all started from, hey, we got this idea, audience, do you guys want in, blah blah blah, and kind of walked them through that whole process. So I would not go to a local screen printer and buy 100 shirts on your good idea, because you're gonna have a bunch of shirts to wash your car with. Trust me, I've done it so many times.
Yes, I've definitely done that too. And yeah, it really just depends. I agree with you. Like I said, that's why I was saying doing a, you know, testing the waters first, or a pre-sale, like you're saying, I think that's the safer bet if you're going to go that route. Alex, I see you have something, and then I see we've got some other people joining us. So let's try to get to everybody, and then maybe we'll try to get to some news too. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was curious. I know Podpage has a merch page or storefront. Is it like Shopify or Etsy, where I went on it and you can list it, but you can also put a link to if you have like a Etsy page or something like that. But has anybody used their storefront? And It takes money and everything, John?
Well, you have to have, like what Nicholas said, you've got to have a location where people are going to order it. They will list it for you.
Okay, it's just the listing. Okay.
So what we did was we did three books that of other places for people to test. Here's the results. After about a month and a half, not one sale. Not one.
So what did you end up doing, John?
My whole philosophy on this is, and I'm kind of like Billy, if someone wants to partner up with products and do this, I will. Otherwise, it's the whole idea of merch, whether you use Printify or one of these companies, to me, it's not worth the amount of time and energy put into it. It's bending over to pick up pennies and ignoring dollars. What I make a lot of revenue off of is not that. And the percentages just are not there. It's a big ego boost, but for me, creating materials for people to buy, even simple ones, it involves money and time, which I cannot replace, and that time does not create revenue. So for me, it's a waste of effort.
Thank you, John. And I kind of agree, but I lean towards not agreeing, only because, yeah, there is some initial time spent on setting it up with a Shopify and a Printify, but for the most part now, I just set it and forget it. And I'll notice all of a sudden, oh, got a sale, got another sale. And yeah, as I said, I don't get a ton of them, but I get enough of them and I don't have to manage them anymore. So as long as I'm breaking even at the very least, I'm excited about it because I know that people are out there wearing my merch or showcasing my merch.
And just to play devil's advocate, breaking even is fine, but that doesn't equal profit. So I'm talking about income-producing activities that actually produce revenue and spending more time doing that. Doing things, even for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, that will not make me a profit is time I will never, ever, ever get back.
And yes, you're talking about profit. I'm talking about marketing. I look at it as marketing. And I don't expect it to, you know, drive thousands of people to my podcast. But I do, again, I'm not looking at it to make a ton of money. I'm looking at it to, at the very least, break even. If I can make a little bit, great. But I'm looking at it as people are wearing my, you know, if somebody's walking around with the Podcasting Morning Chat t-shirt, it's out there and you never know. And I'm okay with that. Again, as long as I'm not losing money, I look at it more like a marketing effort.
And Mark, I think real quick, I'll jump in here because we did this exactly what you're talking about with a local Anytime Fitness franchise. And so they were coming to town, they're building a gym. And I went to them or they came to me and was like, hey, we need shirts. We need them in a hurry. Our guy can't do it. Our franchise print partner can't do it. Can you do it? And I was like, yeah, what's it for? And they're like, well, we just want to give them out at an event. So I was like, okay, well, they gave out, I think it was like 100 shirts. And then they came back and ordered like 500 more shirts. And I was like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, dude, everyone's walking around town with these shirts. So I still see these shirts around town today. And what it does is it does do that. It builds trust. Because when I see somebody I know wearing an Anytime Fitness shirt, even if they're not fit, even if they did, I know they don't go to the gym and they just picked it up at a free event, it still builds trust. Like, oh, there's Mark. He's wearing an Anytime Fitness shirt. Anytime must be good because Mark's a good dude. So they must be good because he's wearing their brand. I think that's an entirely different strategy. I think that is an amazing strategy. And if you have marketing dollars, and you want to go get a ton of people, you know, walking around at PodFest with a Podcast Morning Chat shirt on, then absolutely, I'd be handing them out by the dozens. I'd actually be handing out hats or something else that might not have, you know, size heavy.
That's the one thing I learned from you, Billy.
So, yeah.
Nothing with a size. That's the one thing I learned. Stickers and hat, that's where it's at.
But I do think the t-shirt, I think it's a different strategy. I mean, that's what this person who asked this question probably really needs to consider. Like, is this a marketing effort and I'm going to invest, or is this a business effort where I want to make a profit? And those are two different strategies, way too different approaches.
Thanks, Billy. I am, full disclosure, I just finished choking on some water, so I need to I need to catch my breath here, and I'm going to go to Jackie, because Jackie, I know you've been raising your hand a few times. I think you have a different question, which is totally cool. So take it away.
I do, but I wanted to add one more thing. So I'm starting my new podcast in, oh God, a couple weeks now. And hi, everybody, by the way. It's been a long time. I'm sorry. Life happened. And I just needed a couple weeks to re-level myself, but I'm feeling myself again. But anyways, so I'm starting to reach out. So of course, my new podcast is a spiritual one. So I'm going to go around to all of the stores that sell crystals and all of tarot and all of that stuff. And I'm thinking about printing out just a couple shirts, a couple in each size, and asking them to sell them, because they don't have any shirts or anything in their stores. So I'm thinking, if I just say, you know, you get this percentage, I get this percentage, can I just have a little bit of space in here, which, you know, a couple shirts in each size wouldn't take up much space. Hopefully they would let me do it. And also I was going to say Etsy, but I think you guys had already said that. But my question is, I'm starting that new podcast. Now, I want it to be all under the name The Mama Jack, right? Like, I'm going to start different podcasts under The Mama Jack. So The Mama Jack presently is my parenting podcast, right? Is it okay to keep one pod page for both? Do you guys think that's okay? And also, as far as, you know, social media wise, should I branch off and make a parenting podcast social media of, you know, Rise and Shine is the name of the new podcast. I already have a different kind of social media account for that. But I just don't know if I should keep it separate. Like, The Mama Jack is just the parenting, and then The Mama Jack's Rise and Shine is a separate one. But the pod page thing, that's what I'm most concerned about.
All right. Well, thank you for those questions, Jackie. Simona, welcome. And I see you want to answer, Jackie. Go for it.
Good morning. That's really exciting, Jackie. Congratulations. I think that it would just depend on if you're looking to make the bigger overall brand, like the Mama Jack, like if you're looking to, I guess ultimately it's like which brand is going to be the central brand, because if the messaging isn't the same on the different shows, then they should be split off into their own brands. But if they come back into the same brand, and okay, I'll use my brand as like a comparison. So under Volt Productions, we have all kinds of different shows. So on that page, it makes sense to talk about, you know, and on the website, it makes sense to talk about all the different podcasts that we have, because they're all part of that unit, you know what I mean? Whereas my own two podcasts, Happiness Happens and As It Relates to Podcasting, they are two completely different audiences, two completely different messages. And so therefore they have two completely different websites. They have two completely different, you know, social media accounts. Like, they're two totally different brands because they're not the same and they don't have the same audience. And it's confusing for people who are receiving messaging about something that is not in alignment with what they're wanting to learn.
Okay, so Jackie, that answers one, I think, of the questions. What was the other question? Jackie?
I'm sorry, no, I'm here. Say that again. We had a potty thing.
Oh, well. Well, that takes precedent for sure. Well, Simona was saying that she feels if the messaging is similar or the same, then, yeah, you could link them together, the two shows. And then I was curious what the second question was that you had.
Yes, I love that, because actually I do have a production company that I'm putting everything under. So I think maybe I could just switch it over to that and put both different podcasts. I think they can relate, but it's very personal to each person. And honestly, I don't want them to be connected, because I feel like spirituality is a very like personal thing, right? And if people don't align with that and they see that and they're a parent that might not agree with it, then maybe they'll be turned off of my podcast. So I'm definitely thinking maybe one website to hold both, changing it to something else and then making it two completely different platforms. But I still do, as far as merch and everything, I'd like to have everything together because it's just one whole brand, right? So I plan on putting out some other things as well in the future. And I'd like it to be still under that Mama Jack brand. And I forget what my other question was. Was it the merch thing and putting, like, is it a good idea to put it in, like, go to local stores and try that first and maybe even a spiritual convention and set up something for my podcast and have some shirts and, you know, I don't know, crystals to sell, like something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do like that idea. I think it's a little risky, if I'm being honest, just because you don't know, you could make that small investment and never see the return. But if you're open to it and you're okay with it, that's a different story. I would say that this whole thing speaks to, and I'm not sure if you were here earlier, but we were talking about the idea of if you're going to make merch that you want to put in a store, you got to make it more relatable to the masses because everybody walking through that door, they may not know of your podcast and it won't connect with them. Ooh, I got to get that Mama Jack shirt. And I know that's not the name of the podcast, but I think you know what I mean. So you want to make it something appealing for people who are walking into a crystal store.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I was going to put like the Mama Jack on like the sleeve and Rise and Shine on the front probably, and then a message, like a channeled message on the back that's something that everybody can relate to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just from me. So, or maybe that message goes on the front and the Rise and Shine goes smaller somewhere else. That's fine as well. But I definitely was going to make like the Mama Jack and Rise and Shine not the main thing. Like it would not be the center of the front of the mm-hmm. shirt, sweatshirt, whatever the heck I'm thinking of, coffee mugs. I don't know. But yeah. So, okay, cool. I love that. And I feel like it's like a trendy thing right now, spirituality. That's why I'm trying to get ahead of it because I more and more you're seeing all this stuff even pop up in like Target. So, and it's self-help too, right? So, okay, awesome, awesome. Thank you guys.
You're welcome. And I think Simona is dying to add on to this. Go ahead, Simona.
I am because Jackie, when I first started Happiness Happens back in 2018, I had t-shirts that I made as part of the Happiness Happens brand. And they are still to this day, they are so cute. Like I could sell them very easily. I have sold them. I sold them and I made a profit off of them. Nothing crazy. Like it wasn't like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, you know, it was, I had a certain number that I printed and that I had made. And I just sold them out of my home. So I didn't partner with stores or anything, but I think that's a great idea. And what I would say is it has to be something that is what, like Mark is saying, like what people would actually wear. Very few people would wear a shirt that would have the name of the podcast and the name of the network. Like I'm just going to say the name of the podcast, Rise and Shine. And then, you know, the name of the network, which would be the Mama Jack. Like that is not something people would probably pick up because people don't understand what that means. It doesn't mean anything to them. Right. So instead, maybe you get around this by, okay, here's another idea for you. So I have a lightning bolt tattoo on my wrist, and that's the basis of Volt Productions. It came from that tattoo. And so I was talking with one of my business mentors, and he's like, "Well, if you ever make any merch at all of the shirts that you have should have a lightning bolt on the wrist. Like if they're long sleeve shirts or if they're, you know, t-shirts, they should all have that little tiny indicator that makes you wonder where it comes from." And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So I would almost say like have something that's a little indicator that it is your brand without having it run up the whole arm and like something on the, you know, something in the middle of the back and like, you know, is something that is easily identifiable sort of to you or makes people wonder like, where did you get that? You know, whose shirt is that? And make them ask questions. So instead, maybe it's that you create a t-shirt that's more universal. So the ones that I had, they just said, there was two variations. The first one said happiness happens on the top left in a script writing. And then the other one says happiness happens today. And I had a white shirt and a black shirt. The black shirt had my brand pink writing on it. And then the white shirt had my brand blue writing on it. And they were really simple. And again, they actually did really well. But what you could potentially do is like have like a little card that gets put with every single shirt that's sold, and then maybe a crystal with that card, and that's like your signifier. And then maybe it's on the tag, or you know what I mean, like the logo is on the tag or something like that, or on the bottom, you know, bottom left of the t-shirt or something that indicates. So I don't know that I would put it over the whole shirt, because I think that you're gonna sort of shoot yourself in the foot there. I think that you're gonna people are gonna be like, oh, I love this saying, but I don't want all the rest of this branding. So you have to think about, like Mark said, like what's the audience. So there's that. And then for just the website thing again, I would put everything in terms of like Podpage, like I would probably put everything under like the network, quote unquote, and you can have all of your stuff linked back there, and you can have all kinds of different podcasts. Like if you go to my Volt Productions website, it might help you be able to organize like the way in which the shows are displayed, because we have all of our clients on there. So you could check that out there. Okay. That's very long-winded. Sorry. But I just had so much to say because I feel like I've done something a little bit similar.
That's awesome. No, thank you, Simona. And that's the idea. We're here to share examples of real life examples. And so I appreciate you sharing yours. Yes, Alex, go ahead.
You know, after talking to Billy several times about, you know, don't have sizes and stuff like that. Also, when you talk about knowing your audience, and it goes back to what you want to do, Jackie. And, you know, since Soda has done a couple of things for me, I'm doing stickers. And it's a great way to kind of get your message out there. Plus, you know, Lucy, her computer, her water bottle, everything is covered in stickers. And, you know, if you know, water bottles, everybody's got a water bottle. And everybody wants to put something on it. And, you know, I actually have to get with Soda, and I'm doing this publicly, because I'd like her to do some more stuff for me. But, I mean, that's kind of a way that you can maybe get a little bit of your message. I mean, it's really sad. The one person that really needs to be in this room isn't, which is the merch queen, which is Paula. I don't think she's ever seen a piece of merch that she didn't want to make. But that being said, you know, what's the goal? Is it to, like John said, are you trying to make a ton of money, or are you just trying to get your name out there? Because if you're trying to get your name out there, you know, shirts are great, but like things like stickers, yes, t-shirts are good, but things like stickers and other things like that have a little bit more elasticity, and they're easier to kind of give away if you want to, but if you do want to sell them. So it's just kind of a food for thought. And I was thinking about what Dominic said, you know, with the recovery one, you could have a lot of great sayings. And with the entrepreneurial one, you could have a lot of great sayings that translate. Like, I would love to do shirts. If I was going to do shirts, I would love to do stuff just about reading and books. And yeah, you'd have our little logo or see you soon bookworms. I just haven't gotten around to the creativity part of it. So, but maybe I need Simona and you to help me with that. But thinking about that.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah. Stickers, you know, I think that stickers are more going to be more challenging to sell. I think they're more of a giveaway, at least in my experience, that's been the case. But I do agree with you. Huge. And actually, in the news, I was just reading that the listenership in podcasting among, I think, younger people, I'll just leave it there for right now, but among young people, it's on the rise. And it's pretty significant. And so, yes, younger people love the stickers, and you'll see it, and so do some of us older people. You'll see it on their laptops, on, like you said, on their water bottles, etc. I think it's a great idea. It's a great way to get some name recognition, some branding out there.
One last thing. I know Chris had said, I don't think he's, oh yeah, there he is. We do bookmarks. Absolutely. That's one of our things is we do. And I've given bookmarks out to everybody. We have our QR code and we've got all of our information on it. I call it my business card. It's one of the few times where you can actually give a business card out. And we also give them out to libraries or wherever else we go. So yeah. And there's actually, which is really kind of funny, there's actually companies, that's what they do. They're just bookmark. I mean, they're the printing companies, but they specialize. You can do it right online. So it's pretty neat. There's something for everybody.
Thanks, Alex. Real quick, because I said I was doing this today, I will feel awful all day if I don't do it. So I have to give some kind of news updates. So your number one podcast on Apple and Spotify as of yesterday was the Joe Rogan Experience. And over the last week, 206,662 podcasts published at least one new episode, which is down 1.1%. As far as events go, we've got the Empowered Podcasting Riverside Meetup on May 15th in Charlotte, hosted by yours truly. And we have free drinks to give away to all attendees. We have merch from Riverside to give away. And we're going to have lots of podcasters there, pardon me, doing this very thing, talking all things podcasting. That will happen at 6 p.m. Eastern again. Sorry, I'm still dealing with the water. Again, that's in Charlotte, 6 p.m. Eastern, May 15th. The podcast show in London kicks off May 22nd. So if you are somebody, a listener across the pond, that may be of interest to you, or if you're going to be in the London area, that's a big show and lots of hype around that one coming up. And then, of course, Empowered Podcasting, the conference, June 28th through the 30th. In Charlotte, you can get your tickets. You can book your discounted hotel at empoweredpodcasting.com. Also, by the way, a little note for you, Apple Podcasts Connect will be down for scheduled maintenance on May 11th from 6 a.m. Pacific. And that should go, it should be down for about 2 hours, they say. I think it's just for, like I said, scheduled maintenance. I don't think it's anything massive. And also, we have a date for when Google Podcasts is to close officially globally. That is June 23rd. And it says here, July 29th, this is from Pod News, July 29th is the end date for users to export their subscriptions. So if you want to get any of that data, those files, what have you, you have until July 29th to do that. The closure leaves the Android platform without a natural default podcast app. So they were using, Android users had Google Podcasts as the default, like us iPhone users have Apple Podcasts as our default. So, you know what? I'm going to shift the gears for a second. What do we suggest to Android users? If they're losing their native podcast app, we can't suggest Apple Podcasts because that's not available. So what say you, what podcast app should an Android user consider now that they're losing Google Podcasts? Alex, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, get an iPhone.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
And be done with that. I know. I know. DR, I think Walter's going to go, but I know DR probably has 57 different options because she listens. She's listening to a podcast right now.
Well, hours. Yeah.
She's like listening like to 4 podcasts right now. But I'll let Walter actually give a good answer.
Go ahead, Walt.
As a former Android user and current Android advocate, I say keep your phones. I think that I'm actually very curious about how YouTube Music does over the next like 6 months, because it's, you know, same parent company, and as they're closing, they're encouraging their users to, or they have like a tool that users could use to migrate all of their podcasts over to YouTube Music so they could still listen, they don't have to go find them and all that stuff. So, but, you know, intention and the actual execution are two different things. So it'll be interesting to see how YouTube Music performs. But also, I never hear people talk about it, but CastBox is actually my favorite podcast app. I don't currently use it because I don't know why. Switching over to iPhone is kind of weird using other stuff. But yeah, CastBox, number one. And I know Spotify is probably going to come for those as well. But I think people should look at CastBox.
There you go. Vote for CastBox. Nick, did you want to chime in?
Yeah.
As maybe our only Android user on stage?
VR is the Android user.
Oh, that's right.
I know she's an Android user.
I'm in there. Apple Schmapple. That is my motto that I live by. Apple Schmapple.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I think it's kind of funny. The Google Podcast, I live. I've always had Android, never had an iPhone. I've literally never used the Google Podcast app ever. I never even downloaded it. Probably my favorite podcast app that I've used is Podcast Addict. That said, I'm not using it now, but that's one that I've repeatedly come back to just because of how I was able to kind of queue up episodes and things like that. A lot of the newer apps, I struggle with that side of things. But Snipped, S-N-I-P-D, that's another one I like. Otherwise, if I'm like just quickly wanting to pull something up, I usually just find what up.
All right, there you go. So which of those do you currently lean on the most? You said you listed, what, two, three of them?
Yeah, I had Podcast Addict downloaded for the longest time, and the only reason I got rid of it was because I started playing with these other platforms like Snip that have AI tools, or the train in the back. So between Snipped and Spotify are what I currently use.
Okay, cool.
But I might go back to Podcast Addict. I did really like that one.
Okay, so we got three more, and it looks like Simona's got something. Go ahead, Simona.
As an Apple user, I'm not really sure why you wouldn't use an Apple iPhone, but that's fine. I'm just kidding. But I would say even like Amazon Music might be a good app for people to listen to if you're on an Android. Good Pods. But I feel like Spotify is like the easiest for people to just go to. It's interesting to hear all the little different apps that people are talking about. Like, you know, Walt and Nick are talking about these apps that, like, I mean, I've heard of them, but like, I would never go out of my way to like download that onto my phone when I can just listen through Spotify or Apple, you know? And that actually just makes me want to noise. And I don't mean that in like any, like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know, I feel like Nick, you're someone who tests different platforms and stuff too. Like you're talking about Snipped, and I'm just like, I literally would just stay on one platform and like would have no desire to test something else. So I'm just curious as to like what makes it for you, Nick, to like go to a different platform and try something new. I'm just curious.
So Snipped, I specifically went to because they had AI, obviously. I mean, let's be real. But realistically, like what I was envisioning with Snipped was they have a feature in there where you can actually clip out audio files. So my thought was, okay, if I start using that platform, I can actually clip out my own episodes. Or what I actually started doing was I would favorite all of the episodes that I was featured on when the episode goes live. So now I have essentially a library of all of my guest spots. And then I could actually, if I want, looking for a piece of content or whatever, I can clip a segment from that podcast episode, help promote the episode that I was on, give that host a little boost, and then also it's content that I was a part of. So that was my grand plan with Snip, like a place where I could have all that. It wasn't necessarily for listening specifically, but yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Did anyone else want to chime in on this?
Say, the exception of what's that one DR brought about the
Hark.
That was Hark.
Mm-hmm. Hark. You talked about the appliances?
Yes. That okay. Came from Hark.
With the exception of that one, I'm lazy or whatever else. I wouldn't even think about doing like going to a different one. Not because of anything. It's just out of laziness / you know, why switch or why break it? But it's kind of funny that we talk about Apple this way, because all I can think about is the commercial where they throw the hammer into the IBM computer and they've turned into that platform where we're beating them up like this. So
yeah,
I know DR will have a smile for that comment.
The tables have turned, indeed.
I sure do have a smile.
Okay, I think we've got plenty of options for people, and I think I've done a good job capturing all this to include in the show notes to make it easy for our listener to just click through and check out these different platforms as opposed to having to Google them all and try to find them there. So hopefully that's helpful. I think it is. And by the way, I want to also share with you some news. I don't know who has seen this yet. I don't even really know how long. Yeah,
I don't know. Dominic had his hand about the podcast
thing. It's not important. It can wait.
No, that's all right. I didn't see it, Dominic. Go ahead, and then I'll share this news. Go ahead. I didn't see your hand
really
up.
Quickly, just quick moment of silence for Stitcher and Google Podcasts. For many of us in the early podcast days, that was the platforms, in addition to Apple Podcasts, where we were telling people to share. So just some fine memories. I'm a Scorpio, man. I get emotional. I'm just having a little sentimental moment. So you can go ahead with the news. More important stuff.
No, I appreciate Walt calling that out, and I appreciate that share. Yeah, Stitcher. Man, it's been a while. I remember using Stitcher quite a bit. Yeah. Okay, so what I was going to share with you is Buzzsprout recently included a new feature called Fan Mail. So this lets your audience text your show. So Fan Mail lets your audience connect with you through texting. They say it's simple, effective. It maintains your privacy, right? You don't have to give your actual phone number to get the text. It adds a link above your episode description to text, and then listeners can just tap that and send a text message. And it says here, listeners send a message with your podcast ID embedded. The text messages arrive in your fan mail inbox inside Buzzsprout. So I think that's a pretty cool feature to test out. And I wish I was on Buzzsprout. The only reason why this show is not on Buzzsprout is because it's a 5-day-a-week show, and I don't want to pay for all of that storage, plain and simple. But I do really, I would love to try that kind of feature. And I'm curious if anybody has. I see DR has her hand up. So DR, have you used this or do you have a question about it?
I have a comment. I don't use it, but I do have a comment. Well, that's engagement. And that's one of the reasons why putting your podcast on YouTube is so much fun to think about, because all you have to do is just scroll down and put in your comment. You know, us Android users don't have to go off the platform and go onto another platform in order to find a rank and rate. We can just leave a comment just by scrolling down on YouTube. So that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. Love that. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm pausing because I'm just looking to see if anybody else wanted to say something about that. Okay. So if you have tried it, please reach out and let me know what you think about it. And if it's working for you, I love that feature. And speaking of Buzzsprout, in April, Buzzsprout reported that Spotify has surpassed Apple Podcasts in total podcast downloads on the Buzzsprout platform. So basically, if your podcast is hosted on Buzzsprout, what it's saying is that their users on average, or the people that are listening to all of the podcasts that are hosted on Buzzsprout, more of them as of April are listening via Spotify, which is a pretty significant piece of news, because Apple has dominated that category for so long. And yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Just thought it was worth sharing with you. And Walt, I know you had a story or two. Do you want to share one, at least one of them, and give us a little synopsis?
Yes. A little synopsis, because I shared with Mark that I'm actually a little too tired to break them all down.
I was trying to keep that secret, Walt.
Trying to live in truth, like Cat Williams said, the year of truth. And speaking of truth, one is very interesting, because I feel like once you see like a scam on a huge level, it's like an indicator that like, okay, there's like some opportunity in this world. So there's a really big scam fraud case in the world of audio, where there was like 500 devices that were used to basically show false traffic, and they're able to generate tons of ads based on that. And it, I don't know how long it had gone on, but this company called Double Verify identified it and said they were able to blend their invalid traffic with legitimate traffic. So I guess in a way to kind of show like, oh yeah, we definitely get in traffic, and added a whole bunch of numbers there as well. And actually, now I'm thinking about it, it reminds me, I was listening to someone on a podcast talk about like during the whole podcast boom, There was a lot of money spent in podcasting by advertisers. It's so new and everyone's listening to it. It's a really, really big thing. And there were a lot of podcasters who were kind of, you know, massaging their numbers a little bit, kind of saying they were getting more downloads than they actually were, and led them to get tons and tons of money as well. So there's a lot of people getting paid. And so, like, right now, in addition to Apple Podcasts, kind of blip, that's what I'm calling it, with downloads, there are a lot of people who are not seeing the same type of money as before. Not saying they're all, like, you know, fraud. That's not the case. It's just, like, the money that's being spent in podcasting has started to decrease for a lot of people as there's this kind of correction happening. So this fraud story kind of just falls in line with everything else. So, yeah, it doesn't mean that the industry is dying or anything. It's just like, okay, now we know how much things are actually worth based on certain standards and stuff. So, yeah, that's story number one. Story number one.
That's, yeah, that is fascinating. And I think, well, Simona has something she wanted to either add or ask. Go ahead, Simona.
I want to add to that. Well, so I was talking to someone who was on a call with, I guess the person runs, like, you know, those people that are like, oh, like, we can get you more downloads and blah, blah, blah. And the guy literally showed this person an entire wall of iPhones or phones or whatever it was. And every time someone pays X amount of dollars, all of those phones download the new episode to bump it up and to drive it into the charts, to make it a number one podcast. And, like, it's literally like a whole wall. And they were like, are you actually kidding me? And so it's just so crazy because, like, what you're saying, like, it makes me wonder, people who claim, especially, like, on Listen Notes, like, I'm a top 2% podcaster. Like, it's not accurate. Like, it's not that, like, I don't know. That stuff drives me absolutely nuts. Like, I just, you know, people buy downloads and people buy all that stuff. And it's like, okay, great. And what are you going to do when an advertiser partners with you and you can't sell the ad space because it's not actually real listeners?
Exactly.
Like, it's not profitable for anyone. I could go into this all day.
On my old podcast, whenever somebody made a really strong point, I would hit the ding, and then I think maybe I got to bring my dinger back because that was absolutely on point. I agree, Simona. And DR has something too. Go ahead, DR.
Well, you know, Listen Notes is great for a lot of things, but when it comes to ranking, I don't put any kind of trust in it at all. They're putting in order to rank you, to say that you are number one, they're also putting in a lot of podcasts that haven't published, like, in 2 years. So I hope you're better than those. So it's just not accurate when someone says, yeah, by Listen Notes, I'm, you know, the top 5% of, you know, I just have to look at them and shake my head and walk away, because no matter what you say, you're not going to, number one, I don't want to deflate their dreams. And number two, it's just a waste of breath.
Yeah. I mean, the only way I've seen putting it out there, I think people will just lean on that because it's some kind of kudos that they can put out there that people can see and be like, oh, this person ranks high, apparently, on podcasting. It's kind of for the person, the audience that doesn't have a clue how any of the rankings work. And I agree with you. I don't really trust Listen Notes. I don't lean on it. I don't trust it. Not that I think that they're scamming. I just think that it's not terribly accurate, to your point. So I'm with you there, DR. John, did you want to add something?
Yeah, very quickly. Inactive podcast. Look at Serial. It's a top 0.001% ranked podcast. It's traditionally in top 1 to 9 in different countries and Apple Podcast charts. And they have not released a new episode from 2018 was the last episode, and they just started again. Anybody not know them and how much money they make? And if anybody thinks that these other podcast networks and other ones are not using tools to boost how they show up in Apple Podcast charts, you're fooling yourself. It's really not about the numbers of downloads. It's about total reach across all platforms. It's not just about your podcast, because the vast majority of people won't consume it in the United States. So if you have a good LinkedIn presence. You've got a good Facebook presence. You have other ones. You have a strong email newsletter. You get a lot of web traffic. That's what media, that's what advertisers are buying. It's not the debt. If you get forced into downloads on your show, you're going to lose that battle every time because it's going to be a CPM programmatic thing and you're going to get crushed.
Thanks, John. Simona, I think you're going to have the final word. Go for it.
Okay, but I did want to hear one of Walt's other stories. But
okay,
to John, to your point, one of my friends talks about this often. You know, buying things in terms of, especially for like brands and partnerships, you're not selling ad space. You're creating a brand partnership across all of the channels that you have, and so that's where it goes back to all the other things that we've talked about in this room, where people will agree or disagree, but you know, taking time to build an email list, that is lucrative, you know,
correct,
taking time to, right? And then taking time to build out social media presence, if that's important to you. If not, maybe it's something simple like a Substack. Maybe it's putting time and intention into your YouTube channel. There's so many different ways that you can do it. And like taking your one piece of content and figuring out a strategy that makes the most amount of sense. But all of that is combined together. You can run paid ads to your podcast, to specific episodes, to your show overall, to like everything, to your email list, promote your episodes in your email list. So it's like, it all kind of works cohesively. But can we give the final word to Walt? I want to hear one more of his story.
Yeah, but, and that was a really strong final word though, I have to say. And yeah, Walt, do you want to take us home with the second story that you had?
Yes. And you know what? Today, this just has to be some alignment, because at first I was like, I don't know what's happening. But now I'm like, okay, hold on. I see how it all connects. It's a beautiful web that's super sticky. So the next story is the IAB Tech Lab has finalized its latest updates of podcast measurement standards. And this one's very interesting, especially with the story I just shared about, you know, fraud when it comes to numbers. But then also, Mark, what you just shared earlier about Buzzsprout announcing that Spotify was, the top podcast player among its hosted podcasts. And that's interesting because Spotify, as of April, they're no longer a member of the IAB certification, which is this global standardization of audio measurement and advertising. So that kind of stat's kind of interesting. I just really wonder how accurate it is based on these standards that everyone else is following, or at least most of the people are following. So basically this this new standard, it involves kind of including various languages and more transparency around how they're documenting their practices and what's important to prioritize within the measurements and stuff like that. I'll let y'all dig deep into the article to learn about it yourself. It's very, very technical, so you don't need to, but it's just kind of interesting timing-wise, just with all these other stories that are taking place and the way that the podcast industry is moving. And that's all, folks.
Thank you, Walt. Appreciate it. And again, welcome back to the stage. We missed you. And I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm going to put the link to that article in the show notes. I've been sharing it here live on Clubhouse. So definitely check that out, especially if you're a techie and you're interested in that kind of stuff, for sure. Thanks again for that, Walt. I appreciate that. Appreciate when our moderators bring some news as well, because I don't want to be the only one talking. So thank you. And we are back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern. Tomorrow we are answering some more mailbag questions and, of course, sharing our wins from the week. We want to celebrate your successes, no matter how big or small you think they are. We want to celebrate them with you. So bring them tomorrow. And by the way, shout out to Dan in the audience right now. I joined Dan on his podcast yesterday, did an interview, and I know that's coming out in the next couple of weeks. Had a blast there. Thank you for having me, Dan. And Chris, I see it is your Clubhouse anniversary. So happy anniversary. So glad you joined Clubhouse when you did. It looks like, yep, he's flashing there 2 years. Glad that you did. Glad you found us and you are a part of this community. So until Friday, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.